Turn with me, if you would, to the 55th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Let us pray as we read God's word. Lord God, speak to us through the words of your prophet. The same prophet who told us that the fast that you want for this season is not for us to put on sackcloth and ashes, but instead to feed the hungry, to loose the bonds of injustice. Help us to learn more about that this morning and to hear your word about what the world could be like. Proclaim to us the hope of your kingdom through your word, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beginning with verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. When I was a boy, I took swimming lessons at a very young age. And as we began the swimming lessons at the country club, I was afraid of the water. I did not want to go into the water and swim or do much of anything. I was terrified. And so they had to figure out a strategy to get me into the water, to get me into the pool. And so they went into the restaurant in the country club and brought out a brown wooden salad bowl. And they filled the salad bowl with water. And my teacher showed me how to blow bubbles in the water. So the first thing she did was she took the bowl, put it up to her mouth, and blew bubbles in the bowl and said, can you do that? Can you just take this and put it up in your face and blow bubbles in it? And I said, well, yeah, I think I can do that. So I took the bowl and I put it in my face and I blew bubbles in the bowl. And then the teacher said, well, now that you're able to do that, now that you're able to blow bubbles into this little brown bowl, how about we get into the water and blow some bubbles in there? And I fell for it. I said, okay, if you're with me, as long as you get in the water with me, I'll get in the water and I'll blow bubbles. So I got in the water with my teacher and we swam there. And she was holding me up, and then I would stick my face down in the water. Down in the water. And then before I don't know how many weeks, she was teaching me to swim. It was a simple progression from blowing bubbles outside the pool to getting inside the pool and then learning to swim. Now, I have a confession to make. I have not learned to swim yet. That is, there's still lots of things that people could teach me in the water. I know how to make some basic strokes and, most importantly, how not to drown. But I still have not learned everything there is to know about swimming. So let's begin at the beginning of the story. You know, the beginning of the Bible, where God starts the story. God makes the heavens and the earth, and then God makes the earth, and it's formless and void. Mainly it's formless and void because there's just water on the surface of it. God covers the water, and then the Spirit flows down upon the water and separates the water and the dry land and moves to change the water from chaos to form. Water in the Scriptures, at the earliest point in the Scriptures in creation, represents chaos. The same thing it does to a little person today. It's scary. It has no real shape. And you know that it could be dangerous. But God, at the beginning of creation, moved over that water to begin to create order. You see, God is combating the chaos that we create every day, even today. God's taking chaos and making order out of it. God's combating what we do every day in chaos to create order out of it. The picture from Isaiah here about coming to the waters is the order that God wants. Not the order that's out there in the world today, but the order that God wants. Imagine at the beginning, come to the waters. If you don't have any money, that's okay. You can come and buy as much food, as much wine and milk as you need, as much bread as you need. Because the kingdom is going to be a place that's not like this place. Where we have all of these worries in the world about our next meal, about what we are going to eat, or our overeating as the case may be in our world today. Not having enough, overeating, all that's going to disappear. We'll be able to keep our focus on the living waters, on the teachings of Jesus Christ. About bread, Jesus said this, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Based on what Jesus says, the goal of our ministry here today, to rich and poor, is to point people to the true bread and living water of Jesus Christ. To get us onto the teachings of the Scriptures, the guidance of Jesus, and the community of life in the kingdom. The second thing that waters represent in life is cleansing, and in the Scriptures is cleansing. In the book of the prophet Ezekiel, he has a grand vision of water springing forth from a font in the temple. The temple needs cleansing, and the water cleanses it. Or in 2 Kings with Naaman, who's a foreigner, who comes with his disease and washes and is cleansed by God of his disease. The waters make us clean. Water also reminds us of our repentance, of our changing. How God uses water to change our minds. That when we cross the water, when we are washed, we are not the same. But that God changes us and renews us and uses us in new ways. The third thing that the waters represent in baptism and in the Scriptures is the most obvious, baptism. So just like getting your face in the water to learn to swim, baptism is the way that we begin our faith and remember every time we see it. Baptism is that first time we stuck our face into the pool. And we see the waters that God's drawing us back into this pool over and over again. Learning to swim more and more and more. Michael Phelps is probably the greatest swimmer in the history of the world, much less the history of the United States and the Olympics. I have something in common with Michael Phelps. It's not much. But Michael Phelps and I had the same experience. My mom put me and my sisters in the water to feel comfortable, to have water safety. feel safe. He got in the waters to feel safe. But then something changed in Michael Phelps because he began to learn more and more. Then he says this, "Swimming is normal for me. I'm relaxed. I'm comfortable. And I know my surroundings. It's my home. I feel most at home in the water. I disappear. That's where I belong." This is what God wants for us, right? In baptism first, we know that we're the Lord's, and the more that we swim in the Word, the more that we swim in the Spirit, we become at home in our faith. But Michael Phelps pushes it even farther. He says, "I want to test my maximum and see how much I can do. And I want to change the world of swimming. If you want to be the best, you have to do things that other people aren't willing to do." Now, this is the cost of discipleship. Seeing that in the course of our lives, God has called us in baptism to change the world. That through us, God is making things new in this world. Finally, Phelps says this, "You can't put a limit on anything. The more you dream, the farther you get. I want to test my maximum and see how much I can do." This passage in Isaiah 55 says it this way with the Lord, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has planned so much for us in discipleship and in ministry, in following the Lord and in serving from day to day. We've only begun to dream what it is that the Lord is calling us to do from day to day. Because the more that we swim in baptism, so to speak, the more that we swim in our faith, the more that we understand what God is trying to say to us. God's thoughts are so much bigger and astounding than ours. The call to faith and ministry means embracing something much bigger than ourselves. Embracing swimming itself. Not just swimming, but embracing our faith. You're embracing all the things that will be here in this place and in this community 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. This is the call to embrace the kingdom. The future that God has planned is so much bigger than any of us can imagine. Do you think that Peter and the apostles ever dreamt that there was a land across the sea? And that there would be people there? As well traveled as Paul was, did he think there would be a congregation at the foot of the Blue Ridge Mountains one day reading his letters? God placed us here in this place for a reason and for a season. You're not going to be here forever. So leave an impact in this place. We're called to prepare this place and to give it over to a new generation. We're learning about poverty this 40 days as part of ministry. And the words of Isaiah are an inspiration for ministry. But we must remember that Jesus commissioned us to make disciples. On the mountain after the resurrection, Jesus gave a call to his disciples, baptizing and teaching, which go hand in hand. Imagine if you learned how to swim, but you were the only one who knew how to swim, and you never taught anybody else how to swim. You see, Christians meet the call to making disciples every day as the call to teaching others to swim spiritually. Learning to swim and being able to swim is great, but we know that there are successive generations when more people will begin to stick their face in the water. First, we teach them safety. Then we teach them to get out into the water a little more. Maybe even then to swim on their own. And then swim so much they can swim circles around us. But eventually the goal is to teach them to swim so they can teach others to swim. Discipleship is the same. We're baptized so that we can be safe. And then we begin to learn the teachings of Christ. And then to follow the teachings of Christ. But we're not complete until we begin to teach and to live and to follow the teachings of Christ with others. So get in the water. God has called you to ministry, and God's not done with you yet. You may have learned to swim in your faith a long time ago, but you haven't been in the water recently. Or maybe you realize that you still don't know everything there is about your faith. Good, because there's so much more to learn from day to day. The church's job is to be with you in the water, to get in the water with you, to commit to the lessons of Scripture and to live them out. And so from today forward, let's remember our baptism. Let us never forget it. Come to the waters. Let us pray. Lord, in your scriptures and in the words of the prophet Isaiah, you call us to the waters. For we thirst spiritually, and you quench our thirst. Through baptism, teach us the commands of Jesus Christ. Teach us how to live so that we might baptize others, so they can come to know the goodness of knowing you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.